Perhaps the saddest thing about the murder of a woman in South Burlington last month is how common her story actually is. Aneko Lumumba was 33 years old when she was allegedly killed by her longtime boyfriend, a case of domestic violence taken to its most extreme consequence, and perhaps one that could have been prevented. Joining me in our VPR studios to talk about this case are reporters Jess Allo and Liz Murray of the Burlington Free Press, who uncovered news about the circumstances of Lumumba's death that are raising questions about how law enforcement handles domestic violence complaints. And Liz Murray, let me start with you. For those not familiar with this case, who was Aneko Lumumba?
She was a mother, a nurse, a refugee from the Congo. I think her family came over here in 2002. And from what her family tells us, she just cared about other people. You know, just a really nice person all around.
Where was she living here in Vermont?
She was actually back and forth between a couple of houses. She had been living with her longtime partner, Leroy Headley, in South Burlington on Southview Drive for, you know, a while. And actually, a week before she was killed, she moved out and was living with her mother because she said she felt scared.
And where was she located?
Her mom? Essex Junction.
Essex Junction, okay. Jess, what do we know about how she died?
We know that she was killed by a gunshot wound to the head. Police believe that she was killed by Leroy Headley, her longtime partner. There was a 911 call made shortly before they found her, where police believe it was Leroy. He identified himself. He said, I shot her. I think she died. This is Leroy. And he hasn't been found since.
Your reporting on this story revealed that just 48 hours before she was killed, Aneko Lumumba did reach out to police to report that she felt threatened. Which department did she contact at that time? What did she tell them?
She contacted Essex police. She said that he had been stalking her, and he was threatening to shoot up the whole house. This was not the first time she called Essex police that week. She called them a few days before that, too, to say similar things. They told her to get a temporary restraining order, and she was reluctant to do that. And when she was reluctant to do that, they said, well, that's the help we can give you, and they left.
Well, you also found out that when police spoke to Aneko Lumumba a couple of days before she was murdered, they failed to ask a series of questions, 11 of them, and these were questions recommended to law enforcement as a way to help prevent exactly this kind of killing from happening, as I understand it. Where did these 11 questions originate? What was the organization that recommended them for use?
It's called the Lethality Assessment. They originate with a Maryland domestic violence advocacy group. It's become a best practice across the country. The idea is that if you can make a person really aware that they are at risk of being killed, that can illuminate the danger that they're in. A lot of abuse victims normalize their situation. It becomes their reality. It becomes their normal. And these questions are designed to help them understand that this is not normal. This is not the situation you're supposed to be living in. The second part of the lethality assessment is that when you answer yes to these questions, and we know from the police reports that she would have answered yes to many of these questions, you are connected to resources, to a 24-hour hotline, and that they can discuss safety planning, they can discuss advocates to help you through the restraining order process. Some of the questions are, has he ever threatened you with a gun? Are you concerned that he might try to kill you? Is he stalking you?
And according to the assessment, when some of these questions, when the person answers yes, then the authorities are instructed to give a certain answer?
They're instructed to very bluntly say, people in your situation have been murdered. To look someone in the eye and tell them that you are at risk of dying.
What did police say about why these questions were not asked in this case? And again, to be clear, this was not protocol. It was not part of the police department procedures that they had to follow. But what did they say about why they didn't use them?
So Essex Police does not have a written policy about when to use them. They do say they have been trained on the lethality assessment. They have the form, the questions. Some police chiefs, for example, the Winooski police chief, he said, I think this is a really great idea, so I encourage my officers to use it more often. The Essex police chief couldn't really give a strong answer for why they didn't use it.
Well, your reporting seemed to indicate that perhaps it was because he was fairly new to the job. Is that right?
He was new to the job as chief, yes. That was the answer he gave as why he was not familiar with the policy. He's been with the department for 27 years.
As you mentioned, she also lived in South Burlington before she had moved out. Had she contacted South Burlington police previously?
Yes. She'd contacted them several times, and other people around her had also contacted South Burlington police. The South Burlington police assisted her with getting the restraining order, the temporary restraining order, but they did not appear to do the lethality assessment. The temporary restraining order did not become permanent. She never went to the hearing that would was required to make it permanent.
Has there been any indication from police in Essex or elsewhere whether or not they might now take this lethality assessment more seriously, have their officers more aware that it could be effectively used?
Yes. After a conversation that we had with the Essex police chief, he said that they are planning to reassess their use of it.
There is another factor at play here, and that's the fact that she was killed with a gun. Has there been any discussion of Vermont's gun laws in connection to this?
Yeah. We looked at the extreme risk protection order and whether that could have helped in the last two instances the week before she died, where she called police. Since it's such a new law, it was just signed April 11th. There hasn't been much use of it, and it seems like agencies are still kind of learning how to use it. I think the most famous usage of it was down in Rutland County when they brought one against Jack Sawyer. He's accused of plotting to shoot up the Fairhaven Union High School. Sarah George, the Chittenden County State's Attorney, told us that it still requires a sworn statement in order to get this type of order. And in a domestic violence case, that sworn statement most often will have to come from a victim, because a lot of these cases, there's really no other witnesses. So it does still put a lot of burden on a person accusing another person of domestic violence. And then the other issue is there is no gun registry in Vermont. So it's difficult to know how many guns there are and where they are located. The order does not allow them to basically go into a house like a search warrant and take the guns away. But they don't want to be in a situation where they're forcing a standoff either in order to get those guns away. So there are still going to be some issues to work out here as far as how to get those guns away safely.
You're both seasoned reporters and no stranger to the crime beat. I do wonder, though, if this story was difficult for you to report on, given just the what-ifs surrounding all this and the sad circumstances surrounding it. And again, this is a woman who seemed to be really, really well-respected and beloved in her community.
Yeah, we worked on this for probably 3 or 4 weeks, working through not just all of the records and paperwork, but also really challenging this tendency to say, well, you know, this is her fault. She made these choices not to get out. And, you know, we wanted to look beyond that at the ecosystem in which she was making these choices. That, in the end, is going to be more helpful in looking at what will need to change in order to help save more lives.
Do you think there could be change from this, Jess?
I hope so. One thing that was difficult, I guess, on a personal level was to hear people saying, I'm glad you guys are paying attention to it now. I'm sorry that it had to take a murder for you guys to be paying attention to this. You know, as a reporter, that always stings a little bit, and it's not an unfair criticism, but I hope that there's some good that comes out of it.
Jess Allo and Elizabeth Murray are reporters for the Burlington Free Press, and we'll have links to their reporting on the killing of Anika Lumumba on our website at vpr.net. It is extensive. I want to thank both of you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.